Hello, welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I am your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing this fine Tuesday, or whenever you're listening? I just put it out on Tuesday, and you guys figure it out from there. Welcome. We have Maryland Black Bears action to talk about, and it was an interesting, news-filled week for the Black Bears overall. Team Maryland played their last game for about a week, or 2 weeks by the time they last played it. Also, we got some players news and maybe a little MSHL action. Who's to say? But we'll start off with the Maryland Black Bears, who off the ice had quite a busy week in general. First off, Cam Gaudette gets the Defensive Player of the Month, the Bauer Hockey Defensive Player of the Month. And Cam has been such a great addition to the Black Bears roster and helped shoring up the blue line very, very well. And, I mean, you look at the stats line that he has, and it's something that is it's one of those deals where what he does shows more off the puck and off the stat sheet. A lot of his defensive plays, his positioning, his ability to block shots, his ability to get into passing lanes, like the outside of the score sheet kind of play, it's something that you want to have in a defenseman. And something the Black Bears have. A goal and five assists so far this season. Not too shabby overall. And I think that his contributions to the team, both on the score sheet and also on the ice as a veteran presence, is a huge, huge asset to this team. And you can see that in their play so far this season. Another guy who was picked up in the offseason through the dispersal draft, Seth Bergeron, is no longer part of the team. He was traded to Northeast this week. Fifth round pick, I believe, coming back is from what I heard. Bergeron had been sitting a few games here and there. He was kind of in the rotation of defensemen that the Black Bears have because they are deep on the blue line. So that's a situation where, you know, he wanted to play more, and with Northeast, he's going to get that chance. A goal, 3 points in 10 games of the Black Bears, 35 minutes in penalties. I thought he was a very good asset to the Black Bears in the time he did play. I thought that he and Gaudette, when they were paired together, played very well off of each other. But, I mean, it is what it is in terms of hockey being a business. So Seth will come back in terms of playing in Northeast, and then next year we'll talk a little about him a little bit more because he'll be playing for Stevenson and their D3 squad, so he'll be back in Maryland to play there as it stands right now. Obviously, a lot can change. But all the best to Seth. I thought he played very well with the Black Bears when he did, and we'll be seeing him in Northeastern, see how that goes when he comes back. Another big bit of news, the one of the newer Black Bears, Josh Nixon, went ahead and signed a national letter of intent with Lake Superior State, becoming the third Black Bear on the team to have some Lake State action in their game right now. I mean, that's pretty dang cool when you think about it. I think it's Brendan Hill and Brian Huggins are the other two. So two defensemen and a forward. So that's good. Nixon's been playing very well with the Black Bears in only four games, three assists in those four games. He's a guy who is quite creative in his own with the puck. He knows, you know, has a nose for the net, puts the puck on there. Great speed, solid forecheck. So this is very well deserved to get him into D1 hockey there. So that's the off the ice news. Friday night, New Jersey came to town, and it was not a great Friday night for the Maryland Black Bears as they dropped 6-1, breaking their four-game win streak, which was also a four-game home win streak, which set a record for them in franchise history for the longest win streak in team history. You know, not the best night overall. I mean, there's not much to say about it. New Jersey came out firing. I mean, they had a lot of energy, and throughout the weekend throughout Friday's game, a lot of energy, nonstop talking on the bench, nonstop just energy, just something. Just they found an extra gear, even with the travel. Evan Warner scored with under 3 minutes remaining in the first period, opened up the scoring. Then in the second period, New Jersey just broke it open. 4 minutes in, Jack Ring got a goal. Evan Warner got his second just after midway through the period. And then it was 4-0 before you knew it after Zach Nazareth's goal. Maryland tried to claw back in this one. Josh Waters with a lovely little pick and snipe with a minute and 14 left in the frame, put the Black Bears within three. But then Jack Ring gets his second of the game. Jake LaRusso finishes it out with under 3 minutes remaining, and that's all she wrote on that one. It was a split game. Michael Morelli, who had played so well up to this point, just wasn't his night. He stopped 21 out of 25 he faced in two periods. Karsten Borgon came in, and he faced 20 in the third period alone, stopping 18 shots. So it was not a great game. It seemed that the Black Bears were a little bit flat-footed when it came to the speed of New Jersey. New Jersey had just, they were getting behind the defense. They were finding their passes a lot more. They were weaving in and out a lot more. They seemed to take to the outside and beat the defender on the outside. Just had an extra step in them Friday night. It was a weird deal to see a team that was in a four-game win streak like the Black Bears were just get so defeated, or at least appear defeated. I mean, you tried to get some energy going, but it's just the Titans had their energy carry over. And, you know, I mean, you could say whatever it was in terms of the equipment manager yelling his stuff, maybe a distraction, something to get used to. But at the same time, you know, I don't know if that accounts for 6-1 loss overall. Just one of those deals. So they shook it off. They had a day break. Saturday they couldn't play because of the Ice World schedule, so they played Sunday night in a super late game, Pacific start time. And the Black Bears get revenge and get it back with a 5-4 victory on this one. Grady Freeman gets things going under a minute, 57 seconds in. He gets his second of the season from Daniel Colabuffo and Reed Leibold. Stephen Wiley scores 3 minutes after that. Then Freeman again. Now, interesting enough, so Freeman might have got a tip on this for his third of the season with 10:02 left in the first period, but a lot of people, and in the arena, they said Sean Cullen got the goal, which would have been his first in the NHL, but in the NHL official stats have Grady Freeman with the goal, Sean Kilcullen with his second assist of the year, and Daniel Colabuffo with another assist on this one. Jake Sweet scored with under 5 minutes remaining on the power play, which is something the Black Bears just got into a lot of penalty trouble this week. That power play trouble or penalty kill trouble continued with another power play goal. Revan Warner, his third of the weekend, made it 3-2 New Jersey. Then 12 minutes after that, just before the 15-minute or the 5-minute mark, I can't tell time, Tanner Rowe with a lovely shot, turnaround, finding the puck at the top of the circle, just pivoting a little bit and putting it home for his first NHL goal. Luke Mountain, Hunter McCoy on the assist. I could talk for a living, folks. And then Garrett Sidlowski with 3.4 seconds left in the frame gets his second of the year from Josh Nixon and Brian Huggins, who get their third assist of the season. Caleb Price on a pretty much back and forth third period. Caleb Price gets the game tied for New Jersey with 7:45 left, his first of the year. But Jude Curtis streaking down the right wing, picking up the puck off the boards, and with 3:58 remaining, sniped it home for his fifth of the season. Hunter McCoy, Sean Kilcullen on the assist, and that was all she wrote. As the Black Bears win, they go ahead and win 5-4. Karsten Borgon got the start, 39 saves in a winning effort for his first NHL win of his career as well. Much better game Sunday than Friday. I mean, only way you could go was up in this instance. But I think that the team saw the energy that the Titans brought, and they matched. I think they started to match it as the game went on. Of course, you know, you can't kind of holster the speed too much without getting penalized, as the Black Bears, their penalty kill on the ice a lot, 10 times this weekend. And an interesting stat, and I've buffed it before because I couldn't do math, but the Black Bears sit being shorthanded 78 times this year, which is 31 more than the second place team that has been shorthanded, which is the Lone Star Brahmas, who have 47 shorthanded attempts. So to say that the Black Bears have a little bit of a maybe an issue discipline-wise, I think that's valid. Granted, they're 10th on the PK, so that's something. 10th out of 23, they're in the upper half. That's pretty good. But you also don't want to have to rely on your penalty kill all the time. And because as much as you have 7 shorthanded goals on the season, you also don't want to have all your offense staggered because you're on the box and then have to counterpunch through the shorthanded play. So it was a give and take weekend. I think it was a wake up call. I think on Friday night was kind of like, okay, the Titans are starting to streak. We can maybe take energy from them. Took energy Sunday night, got out a win, split on the weekend, get back in first place. Lone slot now in first place as the Maine Nordiques and Johnstown Tomahawks are right behind. And a big weekend to end out the 2020 calendar schedule for the Black Bears. They'll go up to Johnstown, go to the War Memorial. Hopefully they won't be playing Lady of Spain, because you never want to play that bleeping song. And we will see how that goes. Like I said, as of right now, because obviously rescheduling is a thing, but this is the end of the 2020 schedule for the Black Bears, and they will have a couple weeks off before coming back to the friendly confines of Ice World and or Piney Orchard, probably more on Ice World. They'll be back on the first week of January back home. So this will be a nice sweep to have to stay in first place as things go into the Christmas break. But we will see. We will be back next week just to see how everything goes in that scenario. Team Maryland had a game on Tuesday, they got a victory. They're undefeated in December. 5-0 victory for Team Maryland. A big, big game for them. A bounce-back game after a loss last Monday against Applecore. And they get Applecore again. Patrick Nowak gets the first goal, 42 seconds in. Kyle Peters and Justin Gusso with the assist on that one. 6:47, Gusso gets his own even strength goal. Nowak and Peters on the assist there. I sense a theme with these three. Bobby Geyer, under 5 minutes remaining, he gets another goal. Evan Donnelly and Denny Arkapenko on the assist on that one. Then 6:23 into the second period, Nowak, his second on the power play from Roy Gresham and Gusso again. New York scores one. 3 minutes later, Michael Leva, but Gusso gets another goal, his second of the game. Joseph Donahue with the assist just over halfway in the second, and then Applecore gets one. Matt Malone with a even strength goal with 1:45 left. There was no scoring in the third, and that would do it. Oliver Quinn, big, big win for him after his debut last week. 49 saves. A lot of rubber. Seeing a lot of pucks. And he gets the victory on 51 shots. A great start to the December. A good bounce back game for Team Maryland. It's one that they needed. They had been on a little bit of a skid, just not hitting all the wrong teams. The 87s, a couple bad bounces against the Little Flyers. But now they are sitting second in the Mid-Atlantic Conference, tied up with the Connecticut Rough Riders, but by proxy of wins, they are in the second spot, in accordance, to win percentage. So that's how that works. And Team Maryland will play again. They'll play actually today. I said something about rescheduling. Yeah, last time I checked, it was only the 15th they played again. But lo and behold, I'm a fool for not looking prior. So they will have games at Ice World today, noon, the 8th of December, and then they will have other noon games, including Thursday, December 10th against the Philly Little Flyers, Tuesday, December 15th against the Little Flyers, and the 17th against the Little Flyers. All noontime starts at Ice World, and then Saturday, we'll talk about Saturday after that. So they are actually a lot of games before they are up, and I should have looked beforehand, but here we are. But we will talk a couple games for Team Maryland. They run into the 87s, who a couple weeks back outscored them 13-3 over a two-game span. So we'll see what they can be beaten. 87s can be beaten. Team Maryland did that prior to that, 5-4 in overtime about a month ago. So they can beat them. It's just a matter of getting pucks to the net, all the fun stuff, getting timely saves, getting timely clears, breakouts, power plays, all kinds of stuff. So we will talk about Team Maryland, see what they result in after this week's tilt, and then they will go into another week and then a break until January 5th as well. Before we get to some MSHL news, a pretty big story breaking on Monday as D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser prohibited high-contact sports within the city. So high-contact sport does include ice hockey, and residents can exercise individually or engage in casual non-league high-contact games and activities on field regulated by the Parks and Rec Department. High school extracurricular activities, sports, and competitions are suspended for all schools citywide, including public, charter, private, and parochial. So you got to figure that could impact a lot of the prep schools if it weren't already. So we will have to keep an eye out for this. It's not Maryland official, obviously, but at the same time, that does kind of affects Gonzaga, if I'm not mistaken. Because I believe they are considered D.C. So that would be a giant situation, what we're going in right now. So that's a huge news, and who knows, could go up the pipeline. Possibly Maryland could be included, and then those high school extracurriculars are a little bit at a standstill. So we will see how this all goes. Keep an eye out for that and keep you updated as much as possible. But a little rundown of the MSHL varsity standings as it sits right now. In the Howard Division, Marriott's Ridge are a perfect 4-0, outscoring teams 36-8. Right behind them, Glen Elg, they're undefeated at 3-0, 26-6 is their differential. Then the Swamp Kings, one of the co-op teams, they are 3-1. River Hill, after that, 2-2. Wolves, 1-3. Mount Hebron, 1-4. And Athelton, 0-4 on the season. Monessee Valley, Frederick County, 2-0-1 on the season. They stand at top. Washington County, 2-0-0. And I think Washington County is playing currently right now. They are down to Oakdale, who are right behind them. They've played one game, and they have won that game. Carroll County 1-1-0. Middletown 1-2. Urbania 0-1, and Walkersville 0-3. Montgomery one division. Bethesda Chevy Chase, they are a perfect 3-0. Quince Orchard 2-0, outscoring teams 18-1. Churchill 2-1. Northwest 1-0. Rockville Magruder 1-0. Richard Montgomery 1-0. Damascus, Cheeburg, Seaburg, WM 1-2. Walt Whitman 1-2. And then Wooten, DC Stars, Wilson, St. John's 2 have not yet played. Montgomery Blair are 0-1. Sherwood is 0-2. And Walter Johnson 0-3. In the Southern Division, Central Maryland, Charles County, Chesapeake, Huntington, Leonardtown, Northern not played as of yet. So that is how the MSHL stacks up right now. In the public school side of things, I do believe the private schools aren't yet practiced. At least I haven't seen much from St. Joe or Spalding, which are two teams I follow fairly closely. Haven't seen or heard much from them in terms of practice schedule or in terms of what's coming on next. It's one of those things where things are just hanging out, stalling out, just having a good time. Waiting to see what happens next. We will have to see what's going on with that. But there you go. There is your little bit of something when it comes to the MSHL. Let's get to some players. As some seasons are starting to bloom, baby. Patrick Giles and Boston College. He has been off to a hot start. 5 assists in 4 games this year. 5 assists in his last 3 games as BC riding high in the Hockey East. Giles is an alternate captain this year and matched his point total from an injury-ridden and just health a scratch-ridden 2019-2020 campaign where only played in 10 games. So he has matched that. He has played well for that team. And you can figure that right now, kid's looking good. Kid's pretty set up for this season to have a nice little breakout year. Will Margell is in the USHL. He is playing for the Lincoln Stars. No totals as of yet in his 2 games played for the Stars and only played in November. He hasn't played recently with the Stars because they were in Fargo not too long ago. So his season kind of stopping and starting. Jason O'Neill with Providence, nothing to show in his 2 games. 0-0 for all of that. Obviously, we're still waiting on Adam Varga and Bryce Montgomery in the OHL to get them stuff started. Johnny Morella hasn't played yet for the University of Maine. Graham McPhee, not for the Bakersfield Condors. Jared Rosberg, not for the Texas Stars. Sam Anisford, not for the Springfield Thunderbirds. As it stands right now, that's what's going on with the guys who at least we saw from last year. Haven't heard anything from Nick Sorkin since the end of 2019. Same with Eric Sweetman. Haven't heard much from him. Veronica Petty and Northeastern, they have not started yet. Ben Perko and Union College has not started yet either. So a lot of teams still yet to start. We will see if they start. There are some teams in the ECHL going down, so that's limited availability for players to go there as well. So we will see what all comes together through this, and we will see how much time we get to see with these players in this season and then move on to the next one. But that'll do it for me here. I am out of here. Thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned to ClutchAndCrabHockey.com. There's some stuff coming out, at least today, that about just Division I hockey in Maryland and the feasibility of it and what time frame we can think of. Just kind of living in a dream world, living in best case scenario, living in a world where nothing is denied. So check that out. Check out the Twitter, twitter.com/ChesapeakeHWPod. Facebook is the same at ChesapeakeHWPod. And that's it. You guys can join me on the Faceoff Hockey Show every Wednesday. You can't join us then. We're not live anymore. Thursday when the podcast drops on this same feed here. So if you want to listen to that, great. If not, even better. Just download and delete. That's all I ask of you. Play the first like ad and then go from there. In any case, thank you guys for listening. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction, part of I was going to say broadcastmonsters.com, but that's long dead. I'm out of words. I can't say anymore. You guys play that Clutch and Crab Hockey, and I will talk to you there next week, Darehon.